This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:15 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And our next story. So last Friday, the Prime Minister, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, launched the Digital Economy Blueprint, or My Digital. And there were a number of different initiatives and points that were picked up by the news media. So today we want to look at some of the key areas that were raised and talk about what it means to implement them and essentially how it will hopefully make doing business in Malaysia, especially e-commerce or digital business, how it will improve that.
So My Digital is expected to roll out in three phases, going all the way up to 2030. As you said, there were many things that were outlined. The thing that I think has been getting most of the headlines is that it's promised 500,000 new jobs in the digital economy. You know, definitely something that would catch your attention, especially now with people struggling and sort of going out of many of them losing their existing jobs. They are also encouraging 875,000 micro SMEs to use e-commerce. So this is meant to be also a way to encourage a lot of SMEs to make that leap and take that migration into using digital technology for their businesses.
Yes. The hope also is that it will attract investments worth $70 billion in the digital sector, which is a large amount, and raising productivity overall of the economic sector by 30%. Part of the infrastructure that's going to be developed for this is 21 billion ringgit through the Jendela project, which we've previously spoken about, to hopefully improve connectivity. A fixed line optical fiber network will be covering almost 100% of populated areas. And this is also going to help prepare us in the deployment of 5G and for existing things such as our internet, our submarine network. 1.65 billion will be invested by telcos to strengthen connectivity to that network. This will help speed up and stabilize international data transfer, lowering the internet cost for consumers. So a lot of different things here, right? Again, all these things are coming hand in hand with job opportunities and with the heralding, the impending arrival of 5G.
Yes, and I think this is something that we've we've been seeing it covered a lot in terms of the economic and the financial prospects of this. Already, the digital economy is contributing 18% to Malaysia's GDP, and they're anticipating that this will actually be increase to be 22.6%, nearly 23% by 2025. So that's a huge leap, and so it's a pretty sort of ambitious plan with a lot of things on the docket. I think the thing that a lot of people are interested to figure out, I think, is how this will affect you as a person, as an individual.
Yes, and as a future business owner, perhaps,
yes.
Or as a business owner who is working towards making the, I'm just going to say it again, this word that we keep using, the pivot, the big pivot into going digital. And I also want to see how these funds are going to be used, whether or not there's going to be reporting backwards in terms of, fine, so we've allocated this amount. I think whenever I hear the word allocate, my immediate question is always, okay, so what happens after that? Where is the reporting back in terms of you've received it? Where has that gone? You know, just where are the receipts, essentially? So as we watch this infrastructure and these initiatives roll out, I think we wanted to take the opportunity right after the announcement to just look at what this could mean for us and how it can be enacted transparently, accountably, in all the ways that matter. If you have questions about the My Digital Blueprint, the time to ask is now. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, we're crossing over to Khairul Yusof, who is the co-founder of Sina Project. Khairul, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. Yeah.
So what are your reactions to the blueprint that was announced by the PM? And does it, in your view, sufficiently address the challenges that Malaysia is facing digitally?
For me, the first thing that, you know, came up to me when hearing about it is what's different from what's been done before, especially when it comes to digital inclusion. Will we have the same actors? Will we have the same system and the same policies that lead us to the current situation that we're in, which is basically the middle income trap? Questions about growing inequality and our inability, you know, to keep talent and investments and compete with our neighbors.
So, Kyril, did anything stand out to you in the blueprint?
One thing that made me that stood out for me was the fact that the language of inclusiveness, right from the start, the acknowledgement of the digital divide, and that there's a strong need for this to be an open and participatory development, you know, where government, academic, private sector, and the general public all have to work together in order for it to happen. And from what I could see from the cursory glance of the report, it seems that it has identified all the key issues, innovations, and coordination that is needed for, you know, better public service delivery, as well as our competitiveness.
And if we look at the targets that are set, at least for us, it looked pretty ambitious. How achievable are the objectives from your point of view?
Well, that depends on which objectives we're looking at.
It's a large one, yeah.
It's a large objective. Usually I would break it down, into basically three, you know, the three sectors, right, in terms of its ambition. One is that, you know, will it provide a, will we see a transformation or innovation in terms of the government services that we will get? The other would be is that, you know, will it be enabling, you know, the e-commerce growth and innovations for existing sectors? And then, of course, the third one is that this all can't happen unless there's actually internet connectivity for all. So looking at it, I don't see, if you're looking at just these three basic goals, I don't think it's overly ambitious because it's a continuation of the work. Malaysia has started from early 2000, which is almost two decades ago. So we have a lot of the base infrastructure in place. And this policy looks to be more like a next step. Of course, the challenge then is like, you know, will we be able to implement it? And that's it's an implementation detail and whether that's possible or not.
So speaking of which, do you foresee any potential setbacks, particularly when it comes to the question of building infrastructure?
For that, I don't think so. The key issues, the reason for this is that we are already high in terms of the infrastructure for data connectivity. If we look, as I mentioned earlier, we've been building a government digital service or an e-government since the early 2000s. So we don't have to build anything from scratch. We have quite extensive fiber optic connections and 4G, connectivity, as well as even the regulations needed for it. For example, we have things such as the universal service provision, which is actually a fund contributed by ISPs that supposedly ensures, you know, connectivity for all. So in terms of the infrastructure, I don't think we're that far off, and it's something that's actually feasible without massive investment, additional investment from the government.
So earlier you said that one of the things that stood out to you was the focus on inclusion and inclusivity. And I think that that has always been digital access for everybody. This idea of being able to provide it to all has always been a key challenge in the country. Are you confident that with this, we are going to finally get it right and sufficiently address that?
As I mentioned earlier, like looking at the blueprint as a whole, the good news is that the government has, you know, identified all these issues. It has identified, for example, the issue of where, you know, all sectors need to work together in a participatory manner. It's addressed issues of, you know, addressing competition, and it's also, you know, addressed the issues on. I think what pretty good stood up at the start of the blueprint itself is the fact that with each new kind of digital or technological change or innovation, there's also a high risk of increase of, the digital divide actually increases with each level of technological advancement. So looking at, the key strategic goals of government and addressing the blueprint, it seems that the government is aware of this. And at least that's a first good step, is that all the parts that are needed for this to be a success is there. But as I seem to be repeating myself, is that the devil, of course, is in the implementation of it.
So on the goal of getting more micro SMEs on board when it comes to e-commerce, what do you think are some of the current challenges?
I don't so much to see, you know, in terms of getting micro SMEs on board, e-commerce as a challenge. I think this is actually one of the lowest hanging fruits in terms of this digital blueprint. Basically, we have a lot of the infrastructure already in place. We have the regulations, you know, for e-payments and so on developed and already, you know, in place by Bank Negara and our existing digital and communications laws. So this is actually, for me, I don't see this much so much as a challenge, as in the sense that the technology, you know, in terms of the online e-commerce cloud service providers out there, in terms of the decreasing costs of internet access and digital devices, I think this is something that will actually be one of the easiest things to achieve in terms of this blueprint.
So a lot of this also seems to be laying the groundwork for the arrival of 5G. And there's been a lot of hype and a lot of attention given to it in the past. Could you tell us in brief, I mean, what is 5G bringing to the table? You know, where do you stand on it?
Okay, so, I mean, the easiest way to describe 5G is basically, you know, in non-technical terms, is that you basically have ubiquitous, and if I'm pronouncing it correct, you basically have broadband wherever you go, you know, wirelessly on your digital device, and not so it would lead to basically pervasive, you know, broadband. I think it's, you know, it's an important technology, but I think it's also at the cutting edge. It's not something that's going to be changing as we've seen in other countries right now. As with, you know, every new deployment of new technology, it's going to be limited to very limited, areas at the moment, mostly urban. And also the devices for quite a few years are going to be, you know, that the smartphones and the devices to access such technologies are going to be quite prohibitively expensive for the wider, you know, population for a while. So I think it's an important thing that the government should start preparing in advance of, just as, you know, the government used to prepare for the coming of the internet. And then, you know, 3G and 4G, the government has to, you know, industry and so on has to look at the regulations and the implications of 5G. But I don't think this is going to be something that's going to be, you know, an immediate game changer for most people and for most industries.
So the blueprint has also focused on cloud services, and the Prime Minister specifically said that these services would be deployed in the public sector. Could you tell us a little bit more about how this will achieve and how this will help, I think, improve the public sector?
For me, I think with cloud services, and I think this is more about the natural, improvements to efficiency. It's part of the natural cyclical technological development. So where we shift, you know, so this is not the first kind of change in this sort of behavior. So for those of you who are older enough, you know, it used to be that we had mainframes and computing was out of touch. And then our PCs became more powerful. And then it reverted back to people working on PCs and servers in the office. Now we're going back again where in terms of technological efficiencies, it's more efficient for the government in terms of costs and infrastructure investment to actually again have, you know, provision of these services in a few, what we call, you know, central or it's not really central, but, you know, in sharing of data infrastructure and IT infrastructure between government services. So when the when they're talking about cloud services, I think this is more, for me, in my opinion, it's just a natural technological development cycle. And as, you know, broadband becomes more pervasive and more affordable, it's just a natural technological development that setting up, you know, cloud data centers or using cloud services becomes a more efficient way of acquiring or providing IT services, you know, instead of each department buying servers, for example.
And Kairi, we have 30 seconds left with you, unfortunately, mm-hmm. but what goals would you like to see prioritized when it comes to digital development here?
Yeah, for me, okay, in 30 seconds, I would say not to think of digital development as an either or, but as a complementary service. And what I mean by this is that we not shouldn't think of digital economy as something that I'm not going to have a job for. I think it's a complementary thing to existing manufacturing. It's like, how can I improve if I'm producing rubber, how can I improve production of rubber or sales of rubber with digital, and not see it as a complete replacement for, you know, all existing industries in Malaysia.
Khairul, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
That was Khairul Yusof, co-founder of Sina Project, giving us his take on some of the initiatives that were part of the Digital Economy Blueprint. If you have thoughts, send them our way. We'll get to them after the 7:30 news. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.